Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, bring to me all devout and faithful souls, and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. The souls brought me consolation on the way of the cross. They were that drop of consolation in the midst of an ocean of bitterness. Most merciful Jesus, from the treasury of your mercy, you impart your graces in great abundance to each and all. Receive us into the abode of your most compassionate heart, and never let us escape from it. We beg this grace of you by that most wondrous love for the Heavenly Father with which your heart burns so fiercely. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon faithful souls as upon the inheritance of your Son for the sake of his sorrowful passion. Grant them your blessing and surround them with your constant protection. Thus may they never fall in love or lose the treasure of the holy faith, but rather with all the hosts of angels and saints, may they glorify your boundless mercy for endless ages. Amen.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klaponis, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out, and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com, and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking, and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of hand-crafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on The Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of historical passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
And
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen and amen.
Now, before I get to the saint of the day, I just pulled off a masterful April Fool's Day prank. Oh, by the way, I've decided that I am going to be applying for the priesthood with the Benedictine Monastery around the corner.
Okay.
that's not an April Fool. But I told
it's not.
But I told this girl that I know who told me that we're not compatible. I told her in a text, I said, I'm about to go on the air, but before I do, I want you to know that in case you haven't noticed, I have fallen in love with you, completely and totally. And I waited until her text message sent me the read receipt, and as soon as it did, I hit send, because I had already typed in April Fool.
Oh, that's cool.
I got you goose. The response I got was, you goose.
Wow.
So I guess I got her.
I don't think I can top that one.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our saint of the day. Today we have Saint Hugh of Grenoble. Now, Grenoble is a place in France, and he was a Benedictine, kind of, sort of, maybe. He was born around the year 1053. They think he was born in the Dauphine region of France, and he became a canon of the cathedral in Valence. In 1080, before he was even ordained a priest, he attended a synod in Avignon, and while he was at the synod in Avignon, he was named Bishop of Grenoble. His whole idea, and he was a Gregorian reformer, by the way.
Okay.
So he attempted a massive reform of the corruption in the diocese, and finding a lot of difficulties with the reform, became very discouraged and retired to Chasteau Abbey, where he became a Benedictine. Pope St. Gregory VII wasn't fond of that and ordered him back to Grenoble. Hugh gave St. Bruno the land on which the Grand Chartreuse was founded, thus starting the Carthusian Order. And so, as a result, St. Hugh of Grenoble is the patron of St. Bruno. Hugh died on April 1st in the year 1132. So from 1080 to 1132, about 51 or 52 years, he served as the Bishop of Grenoble. Let's see, he opposed the Archbishop of Vienna, who later became Pope Calixtus II. Notice there's no saint there. Now, according to Wikipedia, he was born at Châteauneuf-sur-Isère, County of Alban, to Adilo of Valence. Hugh showed piety and theological facility from a young age. While still a layman, Hugh was made a canon of Valence, which we've talked about. His piety was such that it was said of him that he only knew one woman by sight. My guess is that would be the Blessed Virgin Mary, or his mother. Like I said, at the Council of Avignon in 1080, he was elected Bishop of Grenoble. Also, as I said, though he was not yet ordained, the See of Grenoble had fallen into a very poor state, and Hugh was selected to be its Gregorian renovator. Conducted by a papal legatee to Rome, Hugh was ordained by Pope Gregory VII himself. Upon his return, he immediately set to the task of reforming the abuses in his new diocese. When he had succeeded in countering abuse and fostering devotion after 2 years, he tried to resign his bishopric and enter the Benedictine monastery at Cluny. However, the Pope ordered him to continue his episcopal work. For the rest of the 11th century, this episcopate was marked by strife with Count Guigas III of Alban over the possession of ecclesiastic lands in the Gressivauden Valley, which is a valley in the French Alps. Hugh alleged that the count had usurped the lands from the bishopric of Grenoble with the help of Bishop Malin of Grenoble. An accord was finally reached between Hugh and Count Guigas, I don't know how to, Guigas, I don't know how to pronounce that, in 1099. The count agreed to cede the disputed territories while Hugh admitted to the count's temporal authority within the vicinity of Grenoble. Hugh was also instrumental in the foundation, like I said, of the Carthusian Order. He received Bruno of Cologne, St. Bruno, perhaps his own teacher, and six of his companions in 1084, after seeing them under a banner of seven stars in a dream. Hugh installed the seven in a snowy and rocky alpine location called Chartreuse. They founded a monastery and devoted their lives to prayer and study, being oft visited by Hugh, who was reported to adopted much of their way of life. Hugh also founded the nearby Monastère des Chalets, which grew into an independent order. Hugh was canonized on April 22nd, 1134, by Pope Innocent II. Now, I made a big deal last week or the week before about a guy that was canonized 100 years after he died. Do you remember that?
Big, but yeah.
How about Hugh of Grenoble being canonized 2 years after he died.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. His feast day is on April 1st in the Catholic Church, which is the day he died. During the French Wars of Religion between Catholics and Protestants, inspired by John Calvin, called the Huguenots burned the body of St. Hugh. So we don't have any relics from St. Hugh, it appears. And
wow.
Several churches have been named for him. St. Hugo, a Roman titular church, was dedicated to him in 1991. He also gives his name to a church in Greenbelt, Maryland, United States. Got to go to a mass there. I don't know where Greenbelt, Maryland is, but Maryland's not very big.
No, it's not.
I mean, Delaware is a little bit smaller, and Rhode Island is even smaller yet, but Maryland is not huge by any stretch of the imagination.
It is not.
You know, not like Georgia or Alabama or Arizona. And yes, I know I mispronounced those. I did it on purpose to be funny. And by the way, my thinking about going to the priesthood, April Fool.
Yeah.
Even though I said it wasn't an April Fool, it was.
It was an April Fool's joke that it wasn't an April Fool's joke.
Correct.
You did a double-double there.
I did a double-double. So, let's see. We've got about 18 minutes left, and today is the Monday in the octave of Easter. So, happy Easter Monday to everybody.
Yep.
Let's see. Now, morning offering... Go ahead.
The octave of Easter would end on Divine Mercy Sunday.
That is correct.
Yep.
And Jesus wanted the Sunday after Easter, or the Sunday following the octave of Easter, to be a celebration of his mercy. Hence why we have Mercy Sunday.
There's a very interesting metaphor that just jumped into my brain just now as we were just talking.
And that is?
An interesting insight. Because that first Divine Mercy Sunday, the disciples were doing what?
Hiding in the upper room.
They were cowering behind a locked door out of fear. And Jesus walked through the locked door and said, peace be with you. And it just struck me that there is an interesting metaphor there, an interesting analogy there, that how many times do we shut ourselves off from his mercy out of fear?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard someone say, oh, I've got to get my courage up before I can go to confession?
Millions of times.
Yeah. Let me give you a little hint if you're listening. Anybody, you don't get your courage up so you can go to confession. You go to confession so you can get your courage up.
Exactly.
You got it backwards.
That's why I go to confession almost every week.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. You need his help. That's where you're going to. That's like, well, you know, I'm going to wait till the fire burns out before I call the fire department.
Exactly. You know,
the same kind of logic. But I just thought that just hit me. That what an interesting parallel that they were shutting themselves off from him basically out of fear, because the doors were locked and everything, and that didn't stop him. So our fear is not going to stop Jesus. We just, as long as we're willing to make that effort, he's able to overcome that in us. He's able to overcome that fear in us or whatever other shortcoming may be holding us back. So
exactly.
Just thought I'd add that in there.
Well, and, you know, April is the month of the Holy Eucharist. And so each day during the month of April, I am going to try to find a Eucharistic miracle to talk about.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Well, April is the month of the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the real presence of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
and
sure is.
I'm hoping that Eucharistic miracles will help everybody out there to believe in the real presence, because something like 67 or 70% of Catholics in the United States don't believe in the real presence.
Isn't that awful?
I don't get how you can be Catholic and not believe.
You can't. You can't.
If you don't believe in the, if you don't believe in the real presence, you're not Catholic.
Right. It's like a fat skinny person. I mean, you know, you can't be Catholic and define one of the fundamental doctrines of what being a Catholic is. It's like saying, "Oh, I'm Catholic, but I don't believe in the divinity of Christ. I don't believe in the Trinity. I don't believe in the Incarnation." And it's absurd. It's an absolute absurdity. All right? But I'm going to go further. You can't be a Catholic and believe in gay marriage. You can't be a Catholic and believe in abortion. These things are non-negotiable.
You can't be Catholic and be a set of Vacantists believing that the chair of Peter is vacant.
Right.
It's not.
Right. Absolutely.
We may not like everything that Pope Francis does, but he is a legitimate pope. He was elected by the College of Cardinals validly, and that tells me that he was chosen by the Holy Spirit to lead the church, just like Karol Wojtyła was chosen by the Holy Spirit to lead the Catholic Church, just like Joseph Ratzinger was chosen by the Holy Spirit to lead the Catholic Church. So Jorge Bergoglio was chosen by the Holy Spirit to lead the Roman Catholic Church.
Right, and maybe some of the things that Pope Francis does that kind of rub us the wrong way or make us wonder and doubt are to test our humility, to test our obedience. We don't know what work the Holy Spirit is doing through that situation, but we know that we have to be humble and we have to be obedient. And on that note, I've got to run. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow, Rich.
God bless you. All right. Have a great one.
Bye.
Okay, so the Eucharistic miracle that I would like to talk about I thought I had one here. Because I had always heard that St. Oscar Romero, who was Archbishop in El Salvador, I had always heard that he was assassinated during the consecration as he was holding the chalice of the precious blood up. And that's when he was assassinated, and he fell to the ground and did not drop the chalice of the precious blood. The chalice of the precious blood landed square without being tipped over and without a drop of the precious blood being spilt. And that would be a Eucharistic miracle if it was true. I'm not finding that on his Wikipedia page. So I'm going to search for it a different way. Let's see. Now, this is from TheGuardian.com. And The Guardian doesn't talk about that. So I'm going to look one other way. And it may be a great story, and that's it. So, hang on, I'm still looking. Well, it appears that he was assassinated during the consecration, but I can't find any evidence that it was during the time that he was holding up. Let's look at VaticanNews.va. Vatican News website doesn't say anything about it. Let's see if the BBC does. And I'm looking really briefly. I don't see anything about it here. So it's a great story, but may or may not have any truth to it. So we're just going to leave it at that. And what I will do is I will talk about the month of April was traditionally dedicated to devotion to Jesus and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. The Catholic Church, our church, teaches that the Blessed Sacrament is the real and living presence of Christ, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, received into our souls with every reception of Holy Communion. Our Eucharistic Lord is the source and summit of our Christian life, the ultimate proof of his infinite love for us. And that is so true. And we've only got about 6 minutes left, so let's talk about the daily update. Of course, excuse me, I plan to be with you every day at 3:30 p.m. Eastern for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the Saint of the Day. And for the month of April, some story about a Eucharistic miracle. We'll go from there. On Thursday, Terry is going to be back on the taking it to the streets. And his topic is going to be on the danger of nuances. That's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, I will be in a Knights of Columbus planning meeting, so I won't be able to listen live, but I will listen on tape delay because that is a very interesting topic. And that's Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Catholic Ken, both spelled with K's in this instance, and that's, of course, Ken Litchfield, is going to be talking about Mercy Sunday, which is this upcoming Sunday. And it's going to be very interesting, to say the least. You know, I'm going to be listening as soon as I get out of my prayer group. So that's going to be very, very cool. And Mercy Sunday, of course, is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. On Saturday at 10 a.m. on Catholicism Rocks, William Hemsworth, Sir William of Hemsworth, is going to be talking about apostolic succession on Catholicism Rocks, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. And then at noon Eastern on Saturday on Burnt Toast and Coffee, the topic of discussion is going to be who wrote the Gospel of John. Now, I always thought it was St. John the Evangelist, but I could be wrong. So I'm going to listen to that one for sure. Apostolic succession, I'll listen to it, but I kind of have an idea about apostolic succession because I'm pretty sure that talking about the apostolic succession, not just of the popes, but also of the bishops and even our priests. You know, our bishops have apostolic succession to all of the apostles, because the apostles were the first bishops. Hang on a second, I've got to put something on my throat. I was trying to avoid that cough, but clearly that didn't happen, so I'm going to open up a Hall's cough drop and put it in my mouth. And then Saturday night, Lisa, the Catholic version of Striper, Lisa Marina Cole, is going to have her next Rockin' with God podcast, and or Rockin' for God, I'm sorry. And her guest is going to be Faith O'Brien, who is a concert pianist and also the director of the music ministry at St. John the Baptist Church down in Florida, where I believe Lisa attends. And I know that if that's the church she attends, she also serves as cantor quite often. So, and like I said, my name is Richard Pettis, and I'm going to be with you every day this week at 3:30 Eastern, so long as the Creeks and the Cherokee don't rise on each other. And I'm right in the middle of Creek and Cherokee land here in the great state of Alabama. And Alabama is a great state, and I do love living here. And while we're on the air tomorrow, I will push John on when he's going to start his series on the Book of Revelation. That's going to be interesting. And I can't wait for him to start it. So I know she's going to tell us any second that we've got 90. Well, no, it's 3:15, my time. And, I set it for an hour. Okay. Well, we're not going to go the whole hour. We're going to call it quits today. We're going to call it quits right here, 45 minutes and change. But before I do, I want to remind you to visit our friends Tony and Paulette Rock at therockcompanyshop.com. They've got some great deals going on, guys. And I want you to know that I replaced my Catholic statues between yesterday and Pentecost with this resurrection set that I bought from them. It's made from olive wood, and it has a carving at the top where you can put your carving of Jesus, and then it's got two Roman soldiers guarding the temple entrance, and the stone is pushed away, and you've got an angel worshiping Jesus, and then you've got Mary, the Mother of God, Mary Magdalene, and Martha all coming to take care of Jesus's body after his crucifixion, when they discover that the stone has been pushed away and he is no longer there. And it's a beautiful set that I got from therockcompanyshop.com, and I absolutely love it. I am totally enamored with it, and I think it is a beautiful set. And I think that resurrection sets, while they may not take off as much as nativity sets have over the past 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years, they say that Jesus was born December 25th in the year 2 BC, so that's a little over 2,000 years, 2,026 years to be exact. And nativity sets have taken off quite a bit over the past 2,026 years. This is the first resurrection set I've ever seen, and I am absolutely enamored with it, and I totally love it. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, fresh olive wood smells like olive oil. Amazing, huh? It smells like olive oil. And I don't mean Popeye's girlfriend. I mean the olive oil that comes out of olives. I mean, I always assumed olive oil came from olives. Maybe it comes from the tree itself. I guess I'll find out and report back to you guys. So anyway, as I said, my name is Richard Pettis, and I don't do this show for my own notoriety or for my own ego or anything else. I do this show for the glory of God, for the glory of God and nothing else, because I love God. And with that in mind, I will see you tomorrow at 3:30. I want you to have a blessed rest of your Easter Monday, and I want you to have a blessed Easter Tuesday until I see you at 3:30 Eastern. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. God bless you all. I love you all.